View. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. Today is Tuesday, July the 9th, 2013. Now, the hard-hitting Kill Radio Weekly News and Review news team is always on the lookout for articles that will apply to your life. This particular one, this has been around for a while, but I think it's very important for everyone to know. Cat poop parasite is dangerously widespread. This from Live Science. Be careful next time you change the kitty litter. Cat poop can carry a nefarious parasite that may be much more widespread than thought, researchers say. Cats in the United States release about 2.6 billion pounds, 1.2 million metric tons of feces into the environment every year. Cat dung carries the parasite Toxoplasma gondii, a single-celled organism that creates infectious agents called oocysts. These oocysts can infect pregnant women, causing congenital problems in the baby, such as deafness, seizures, eye damage, and mental retardation. The parasite also infects people with compromised immune systems, such as those with HIV/AIDS. After reviewing past studies on the parasite, a team of researchers believes the Toxoplasma parasite may be a significant public health problem, infecting people who are otherwise healthy. Other studies have even linked the parasite to schizophrenia, depression, suicidal behavior, and lower school achievement in children. Now, I did a little more research, found another article. Cat parasite linked to suicide attempts in humans. This dated July 2, 2012. Women infected with the cat parasite Toxoplasma gondii are more likely to attempt suicide than non-infected women, new research finds. The reason for this connection, however, remains mysterious. T. gondii is a protozoa that prefers to infect cats but can make its home in any warm-blooded animal. Humans can pick up the parasite from contact with cat feces or by eating undercooked meat or unwashed vegetables. Once ingested, T. gondii can make a home for itself inside the brain and muscle tissues, protected inside cysts that are resistant to attacks by the host's immune system. Some studies have linked infection by this parasite with a variety of mental health and brain problems, including schizophrenia, neurosis, and brain cancer. But scientists aren't clear on whether the parasite contributes to these problems or is a mere side effect. Someone with schizophrenia, for example, might struggle to keep up good hygiene, meaning the mental disorder could increase the risk for infection. The new study linking suicide and T. gondii has the same limitation. Researchers can't say for sure whether the parasite somehow drives people to suicide, but in women with infections, they found the risk of an attempt is 1.5 times greater than in women without. We can't say with certainty that T. gondii caused the women to try to kill themselves, but we did find a predictive association between the infection and suicide attempts later in life that warrants additional studies. Lead researcher Teodor Postolaj, a psychiatrist at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, said in a statement, "We plan to continue our research into this possible connection." One-third of the world's population is infected with T. gondii, which is often asymptomatic. The parasite is the reason that pregnant women are advised not to change cat litter boxes. They can inadvertently pass an infection directly to their fetuses. In its usual animal host, T. gondii plays a literal cat and mouse game. Mice infected with the parasite lose their fear of the smell of cat urine. The parasite actually changes the brain so that the cat pee smell becomes sexy to mice, prompting them to get close to their adversaries. This works out well for the parasite, which needs to get to a cat intestine to reproduce. It's unclear whether the parasite's mind control techniques have any effect on infected humans, spurred by a couple of small studies of mentally ill patients that found links between suicide and T. Gandhi. Posterlach and his colleagues put together a massive research project on 45,788 Danish women whose newborns had been screened for T. Gandhi antibodies between 1992 and 1995. A positive result was a sure sign that mom was infected. About a quarter of the women had been infected at the time of delivery, the results revealed. The researchers then combed through all of the women's later medical records for suicide attempts. They found a relatively small number, 517, had tried to kill themselves, with 78 of these women attempting violent methods such as guns, sharp instruments, or jumping. 18 women in the sample succeeded at killing themselves, 8 of whom had T. Gandhi infections. A statistical analysis turned up a link between suicide attempts and parasite infection, such that an increasing number of T. Gandhi antibodies were linked with an increasing risk of attempts, especially violent attempts. When looking at just attempted suicides, researchers found women who were infected were 1.8 times more likely to attempt suicide by violent means than uninfected women. The researchers were able to control for a diagnosis of mental illness, meaning that infection was independently linked to suicide attempts, not just to mental health problems in general. More study will be needed to determine if the parasite somehow causes suicide attempts or self-harm, Postolash said. T. Gandhi infection is likely not a random event, and it is conceivable that the results could be alternatively explained by people with psychiatric disturbances having a higher risk of becoming T. Gandhi infected prior to contact with the health system, he said. If the parasite is found to be a cause, the next mystery is to unravel how, Postolash said. It could be that the parasite acts directly on the brain in a way that promotes mental illness, or perhaps it triggers the immune system to attack the brain somehow. Either way, he said, infection by T. Gandhi isn't necessarily a mark of doom. For one thing, even with a 26% infection rate, the number of women in the study who attempted suicide was very small. For those who may be at risk, there may be treatments. If we can identify a causal relationship, we may be able to predict those at increased risk for attempting suicide and find ways to intervene, Postolash said. And finally, the news you've been waiting for, Harper's Weekly Review, dated July 9th, 2013. In a televised address from Cairo, General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi announced the temporary suspension of Egypt's constitution and the interim appointment of Judge Adli Mansour to replace Mohamed Morsi, who was elected last summer with 52% of the popular vote as president. "We understand it as a military coup," said a Morsi advisor. "The conviction and culture of the Egyptian armed forces doesn't allow following the policy of military coup," said the country's senior officers in a statement. The regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, which was conducting a 10-day offensive on the city of Homs, urged Morsi to recognize that the overwhelming majority of the Egyptian people reject him. At least 51 protesters were shot while holding a vigil for Morsi outside the officers' club in Nasser City, where he was reputedly being held. And demonstrators in Tahrir Square reported as many as 169 cases of mob sexual violence. "We call it the Circle of Hell," said one woman. A fire lasting nearly 36 hours broke out when a parked train carrying 73 cars filled with crude oil derailed and rolled into downtown Lac-Mégantic, Quebec. 40 buildings were destroyed. A third of the town's population was evacuated, and at least 13 people died. "It's terrible," said one man. "The Metro store, Dollarama, everything that was there is gone." The British discount retailer Poundland stopped selling Chinese lanterns after cameras showed one floating into a Smethwick recycling plant and starting a fire that eventually burned through 100,000 tons of plastic. They are spectacular things, said a local member of parliament. I am loath to ban them. Well, I wonder why. Former U.S. National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden, who is thought to be living in Moscow's Sheremetyevo Airport, released information on Tempora, a system devised by Britain's government communications headquarters for recording internet traffic. It snarfs everything in a rolling buffer, said Snowden, without missing a single bit. Bolivian President Evo Morales, arriving home from an oil summit in Moscow, admonished France and Portugal for denying his plane permission to fly through their airspace on suspicion that Snowden might be aboard. This young man isn't a suitcase, said Morales. Asiana Airlines Flight 214 crash-landed at San Francisco International Airport, injuring 182 passengers and killing two Chinese students. Conservative lawmakers in Costa Rica appealed to President Laura Chinchilla to veto a bill they'd accidentally voted for that modified the law of young people to allow gay marriage. And male anti-abortion activists gathered at the Texas state capitol with signs reading, "I regret my abortion." Ohio Governor John Kasich approved legislation requiring that women seeking an abortion be made aware of their fetus's heartbeat and declined to loosen controls on the ownership of spider monkeys. What? A technician carrying out maintenance on a rooftop LED billboard in China's northeastern Jilin province accidentally broadcast 10 minutes of the forbidden legend, Sex and Chopsticks. And a nanny agency in Shenzhen reported that wealthy adults were breastfeeding themselves. People become perverts, wrote a user of the microblogging service Sina Weibo, when they are too rich. Yeah. Nestle announced plans to lower infant formula prices across China by 20%. Police in Seattle gave water to a pig in sweatpants, and Florida banned chicks of color. The president of a Venetian Gondoliers Association proposed that canal men be breathalyzed. Biologists determined that jerboas outjump jerds and that male hawk moths ward off predators through the ultrasonic jiggling of their genitals. Llama owners extolled the benefits of camelid husbandry. You can tell them all your secrets and your problems, said one woman. They're like potato chips, said another. An apiarist in Tintinyara, Australia, designed a beekeeping suit for his Labrador. Officials on the French Riviera mounted a search for two black panthers. Two Britons holidaying in Iceland rode a bus to Reykjavik with a spew-covered gear falcon and a Goffin's cockatoo named Pippin picked five locks to retrieve a cashew. At a Wells Fargo in Montebello, California, a man with cancer was mistaken for the surgical mask bandit. Students primed with unconscious thoughts of death were found to write funnier New Yorker cartoon captions. Tens of thousands of carp and sea bream died following a molasses spill near Actlan de Juarez and eruptions from Popocatepecal coated Mexico City in ash. A moon of Pluto was renamed Styx. A truckload of dish soap spilled into Virginia's Purgatory Creek, and New Jersey taxidermist John Dante prepared the body of Lonesome George, the last of a subspecies of Galapagos tortoise, for exhibition. "You feel for him," said Dante. "You wouldn't be human if you didn't." This article written by Anthony Lydgate. And once again, we have reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. And as I always say, people, in the coming week, be good to one another and stay out of the news.